I love to tell a story. Speaking of stories, if anybody has ever told you that worshiping is a non-active activity, they have told you a story, and don't you dare believe it. I must interject. I guess it's not an interjection if I haven't even begun yet, right? What do you call something before I even begin? A preface? Let me preface. It doesn't have anything to do with my sermon, so is it a preface? It's a pre. It's free. Here's a precursor. Not a precursor. This is a... Here's something that's beforehand. How many of you like math? How many of you are good with math? Okay, I'm going to give you a math lesson. Jesus plus nothing equals enough. Okay? Jesus plus zero. Everybody do this. Everybody. If you're in the room, everybody do this. This is zero. Okay? Goose egg. Some of y'all, if you don't turn your homework in, this is what you get, a goose egg. Winder boys, do this. Come on, I'm going to call you out. I'm going to call you out if you're not participating. Come on, patience. Come on, everybody. All right, this is zero. Jesus plus this is still enough. Here's what that means. It does not depend on you. Jesus did all the work. He did everything. I've already lost my voice. I haven't even started yet. Jesus did all the work. He did all the work at Calvary. There are some people that will tell you, yeah, but here's what you have to do to get saved. Here's what you have to do to get saved. Okay, here's what you have to do to get saved. You have to accept what Jesus did for you. That's what you have to do. You have to accept what Jesus Christ did for you. That's not work. That's receiving. If you call that work, I don't know how you call that work, but that's what you have to do. You have to receive what Jesus Christ already did. Some people believe, okay, Jesus died on the cross for me, and if I'm good enough, okay, if I do this, 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 and this, then Jesus will count me worthy enough, and then I can receive what he's done for me. Baloney. Okay? I could say other words, but I'm in church this morning, so that's what I'll use. Baloney. Okay? Garbage. It's a lie. It's a lie. If you had to do something else, then Jesus wasn't good enough. And if Jesus wasn't good enough, then what's the point? Is the blood of Jesus Christ good enough or is it not? It is. Somebody may ask, then why do I have to do anything at all? Why do I have to be good? Why do I have to be good? Well, here's the deal. The Bible tells us that when we receive Jesus Christ, we are a new creature. The old has been put to death, been crucified. We talked about resurrection power. We identify with Christ. The old has been put to death, been crucified with Christ, been put in the tomb. We have been resurrected with Christ, a new creature. We're not the same. We are not the same. We cannot be the same. We cannot receive Jesus Christ and remain the same. They cannot coexist. That's something you have to deal with. If you claim to have Jesus Christ, but yet there's been no change, those two cannot coexist. Either you have not received Jesus Christ, or you have not, or you have not, what is it? You either have not received Jesus Christ, or you have changed, or you have not changed because you've not received Jesus Christ. That's it. You got to turn and turn, babe. Turn or burn. Isn't that it? Turn or burn? Okay. That's your math lesson. Jesus plus zero is, and I like the way somebody said, more than enough. It's more than enough. See, Jesus, I mean, God is no cheapskate. He does everything perfectly. He didn't shortchange us. He gave more than enough. He gave it all. Okay. That was free. Free of charge. Just like salvation. It's free. You know, let me put it this way. Hang on. Salvation wasn't free. It wasn't free. It cost. It was very costly. It was just free to you. It was free to you. But it cost Jesus everything. But he gave it freely. For you. John chapter 21. We're going to begin with the first verse and carry on through about verse 14. This is after the resurrection. John chapter 21. This is after the resurrection. This is after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, sometime later, within the 40 days that Jesus was on the earth after the resurrection. And matter of fact, this is about the third time that Jesus has appeared to the disciples. We'll read that later on in the story here. Let me read the text. John chapter 21, beginning in verse 1. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, who's also called James and John, the two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. I like Simon Peter. I like Peter. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got in the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. And he called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? Now you can tell that they weren't in East Texas. Okay? You can tell that they were somewhere in Galilee because that's not how you talk if you're not in East Texas. Had they been in East Texas, he'd have said, hey boys, ain't you got no fish yet? Right? No, they answered. And had they been in East Texas, they'd have said, oh, we caught a bunch. They're way too small. Right? Anyway. Verse 6. Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciples, whom Jesus loved... Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. Verse 9, when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it, and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. How many of you have heard this story before? Okay. You know, a lot of times when things get tough or when we don't know just exactly what to do, we go back to what we do know what to do. We go back to what's familiar. You know that? Have you recognized that? You realize that? Sometimes when we don't know what to do, we go back to what we are familiar with. We go back to what we know what to do. Peter was a fisherman. Either that or maybe he just needed some good therapy. How many of you know that fishing's good therapy? Come on now. He said, I'm going fishing. The other said, hey, that's a great idea. We're coming with you. He didn't invite them. How many of you have had somebody invite themselves to go fishing with you? Yeah. That's great. The problem is that sometimes we resort to what we know to do instead of seeking the Lord. Sometimes we resort to what is familiar with us, what we know what to do because it's easy. I'm familiar with it. I don't have to research. I don't have to study. I don't have to trust. I don't have to lean on something I'm unfamiliar with. I don't have to figure something out. I don't have to risk anything. I know what to do here. I'll just fall back on what I know to do. Problem solved. Instead of having to trust the Lord, lean on the Lord. Easy fix, right? We lean on our own wisdom. It's trying to find out what the Lord wants us to do. Or to be honest, listen, sometimes it's easier just to be lazy and to do what we already know what to do. No risk, no worries, no learning curve, no looking like we don't know what we're doing, right? No embarrassment. Yes, God has given us certain talents, but He also wants us to walk by faith, right? I watch this this show on TV sometimes, and they always end the show with shoot by sight and walk by faith. I love that. Anyway, it has nothing to do with the sermon. Now, this is not the first time that Jesus told them to cast their nets on the other side of the boat, is it? Not the first time they told to do that, and not the first time that they had a great catch after they did what the Lord told them to do. The first time was when He first called them to follow Him. They remembered. You see, Jesus called from the shore, haven't you any fish? No. Throw your nets on the right side of the boat. And they did. Whoa. Large catch. It's Jesus. They remembered. You see, this action sprung into mind. Wait a minute. We've seen this before. This has happened before. I remember. It's like deja vu. I've been here before. Where was this? I remember. Could that? Hey, Pete, it's the Lord. It's Him. They remembered. You see, Jesus will jog our memory sometimes. Have you ever noticed how easily we forget? I'll be 50 this year. To some of you, that's not old. To some of you, that's ancient. Some of you over here in this section, that's ancient, right? But I find that I'm getting more forgetful these days. And everybody tells me that Liz Henley is rubbing off on me. But I'm finding that I forget more and more. I leave the room, I get up and walk to the other room, and I go, why am I in here? And I go back to the other room, and I go, oh yeah, now I remember. And I think the Lord just wanted me to get some exercise. I don't know. But it's important to remember some things. It's important to remember. Jesus was jogging their memory. Hey, cast your nets on the other side of the boat. Okay. Large catch of fish. Oh. This brings to mind a memory when the Lord called us to follow Him. Oh. Could it be? It is the Lord. It's Jesus. It's Jesus, Peter. It's the Lord. He jogged their memory. It's important to remember. I talked this morning with our prayer group a little bit about it's important to remember. It's important to, as we remember our story and with the things that Jesus did in our lives, at the end of this chapter, in the end of the last chapter, chapter 20, John tells that the world could not contain if all the things that Jesus did were written down in books, the world could not contain them. If everything was written down. And that was in the 3.5 years of his ministry on earth. Think about the last 2,000 years, about the things Jesus has continued to do in people's lives. In your lives. What has he done in your life? Do you remember? How many times has Jesus jogged your memory? You see, sometimes we forget. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we get sick. And Jesus has to jog our memory. Remember last time I healed you? Sometimes we fall back into a sinful habit, or we go back to, like the scripture says about the dogs, going back to, doing something really disgusting. I won't go into great detail. Ask me afterwards if you're interested. And sometimes the Lord reminds us. You see, we forget. We forget. The Lord reminds us. Jogs our memory. And we need to remember. We need to remember. We need to continue to think about. We need to contemplate. Maybe you need to write it down. Maybe if you're a journaler, maybe you need to keep a journal. Maybe you need to write stuff down. Maybe you need to spend time. Maybe you need to learn the song, Count Your Blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Maybe you need to just spend some time and write your blessings down. Write them down. Not just your blessings, maybe you need to write down your mistakes and how God has brought you through, which is a blessing, right? Maybe you need to write down how God has moved in your life and changed you so that you don't forget. Don't just write it down and put it on a shelf. Maybe you need to read through that periodically to remember so that you don't forget. In verse 7, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, this is the book of John. John is the author. John never refers to himself in this gospel as John. This is how he refers to himself, the disciple whom Jesus loved. It's what we call a humble brag. A humble brag. Y'all know what a humble brag is? Oh Lord, I'm so humble. Thank you for making me so handsome and good looking. And more good looking than most men. And the humility to go with it, Lord, to accept it, because a proud person could never handle it like I can. Thank you for giving me the perfect head to receive boldness. Something like that, you know. It's really kind of bragging, but appearing to be humble, and so John, bless his heart. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It's the Lord," he wrapped his outer garments around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped in the water. You hear that? Now, earlier, you recall the story when Jesus was walking on the water and during the storm? See, a lot of things happened in this story that we're going to read, that we've read. A lot of things happened earlier that this story kind of brings back to mind. Jesus walking on the water in the storm. They saw this figure and they thought it was a ghost. He said, "No, it's the Lord." Jesus said, "Don't fear not, it's I." Peter said, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come." Jesus said, "Come." So Peter stepped out of the boat onto the water. Remember this? Started walking towards Jesus. Then he kind of got scared of the waves. He began to sink. Jesus reached out and caught him, brought him up, walked him back to the boat, got in the boat. Y'all remember that? This time, Peter wasted no time. He jumped in the water. He didn't say, "Lord, let me walk on the water to you. Jesus, if that's really you on the shore, let me sprint on the water to you. Lord, remember how I walked on the water that day? It took like 3 steps before I sank. Let me do it better this time." He didn't even ask. He didn't even ask if it was Jesus. He just took his cloak that was on the bench there because he'd getting hot and he'd taken it off and fish. His outer garment. He said, grabbed it, wrapped it around him. Did a swan dive into the lake. Right? I don't know if he did a swan dive or a cannonball. I don't know what he did. Double flip with a twist. I don't know. He went in the water. Didn't try to walk on the water. He wasted no time. Listen, he no longer needed to walk on the water. He didn't need the miraculous to get to Jesus this time. He just jumped in. Have you grown in your relationship enough that you no longer need the miraculous? That you no longer need the great big explosive things to get to Jesus? You don't need this great big sign, this great big emotional experience to get to Jesus anymore. Have you grown in your relationship enough that you're willing to just jump in the water? Have you grown in your relationship enough that you can just jump in and swim if you need to get to Jesus? Because here's the deal. Peter was in a boat. He was in the boat. Guess what boats do? They float. Unless you're in a bad boat. The other disciples, they followed behind him. And guess what they did? They reached the shore. Just like Peter did, a little bit behind, but they got there. Peter could have stayed in the boat and rowed to shore just like everyone else did. But Peter was so excited. I need you to listen to this. Everybody pay attention. Peter was so excited, he just could not hold himself back. When was the last time you got so excited about getting to Jesus, you just couldn't hold back? Or have you ever been that excited? Have you ever been so excited about getting to Jesus, you just couldn't hold back, and there wasn't nothing going to stop you? Wasn't nothing going to slow you down? Oh no, you got to keep on moving. You just had to get on and get on right now. Wasn't nothing going to slow you down? Yeah, maybe everybody else is going to get there too, but you're going to get there first. I'm going to get there right now. I can't wait. I can't wait on everybody else. I got to get there right now. Whatever it takes, I'm getting there right now, soon, fast. I got to go. I got to go. Sorry. Have you ever been that excited about getting to Jesus? If you have, When was the last time? Or have you ever been that excited? I will tell you this from personal experience. He's worth getting excited about. He's worth getting excited about. Jesus told them to bring some fish that they had caught. Not because he needed them for breakfast. Or did he? He was going to cook them breakfast, right? He said, bring some of the fish you've just caught. Right? But he already had a fire going. What was on the fire? Fish? The fish that they had caught and brought to shore? He already had fish. He stopped at the market, right? No, we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the supplier. We're talking about the provider. We're talking about Jesus. He already had fish and bread on the fire. Wait a minute. Have we heard about Jesus providing bread and fish before? Bread and fish? You see how this story is taking reminders from things past and bringing them here and teaching the boys about, hey, remember this, remember that, remember this, remember that. Bread and fish. Do you remember bread and fish somewhere in the past, boys? Do you remember that? Bread and fish? Oh, yeah. Feeding 5,000 men with bread and fish, not counting women and children? Yeah? Oh, yeah. He didn't need the fish. The fish was just to get their attention. 153 of them, to be exact. The fish was just to get their attention. Jesus provided their catch, and Jesus had already provided their breakfast before they had caught anything. Jesus will provide. He provides because he loves. And here's the deal. Guys, you're going to love this. They didn't even have to clean the fish. They caught all these fish, drug them to shore. Peter himself, listen, did y'all catch this? Peter himself went and got the net and drug 153 fish to the shore out of the boat. It says it in the Word. Peter himself drug the net up without even tearing the net. They didn't even have to clean the fish because Jesus already had fish on the fire. 153 fish, and not your average fish. The Scripture says they were large fish. Not only does Jesus provide fish, he provides, right here, large fish. I like that. How many of you like big fish? Yeah, large fish. God is good, isn't he? Doesn't he care? Absolutely he cares. He cares to let you catch fish, but not just catch fish. He provides the fish for you to catch. Are you with me? He provides the fish for you to catch if you'll just follow the instructions. Cast your nets. Cast your nets where he tells you to fish. We're called fishers of men. We are to cast our nets at work, at play, at home, at the store, wherever we are. We're to cast our nets according to his instructions. He will fill the net, and he will feed you. That's what we find here in this passage. I believe this was written for us as well. Jesus wants to meet with us. He wants to sit down with us. He wants to fill our nets if we will listen and follow his instructions. He wants to meet with us. He wants to provide for us and sit and visit with us. And let me tell you something. Jesus does not get one bit upset if someone gets a little excited about wanting to get as close as they can and as soon as they can to him. It doesn't make Jesus at all one bit upset about somebody getting excited about getting close to Jesus. Is that person you? Could that person be you? Or better yet, Should that person be you? I believe it should. I believe it could. I guess the only question really remains is, will that person be you? It's a very personal thing that Jesus did for you. And it's a very personal thing that Jesus invites us into that relationship. To John, it was very personal. He says, I'm the disciple that Jesus loved. And folks, I don't think he was really bragging. I think he really truly felt that. I mean, after all the other disciples were killed because of their faith. John was the only one to remain alive and died of old age. Yeah. He was one of the inner circle. He truly felt as if Jesus loved him, and he did. Now, he loved all the others too. He loves you and me with the same kind of love. So, yes, it's very personal. If you were writing a book, I think you could say, I am the person whom Jesus loves. I can say, I am the pastor whom Jesus loves. That doesn't mean that he loves Joel Osteen any less. Doesn't mean that he loves Ed Young any less or Carl Williams any less. Doesn't mean that he loves any pastor any less. But for me, he loves me. He loves me. He loves me enough to provide for me. He loves me enough to tell me where to fish. And guess what? Where he tells me to fish, he provides fish. If I will follow his instructions. He feeds me. He watches over me. And he wants to visit with me. And when I recognize him on the shore, he loves to see me jump in the water and swim as fast as I can to get as close as I can as soon as I can. And he's not ashamed about me jumping in the water. And guess what? Just as a side note, in case you were curious, I'm not ashamed either. Just in case you were wondering. Doesn't bother me one bit. Where do you stand? Where do you stand? I invite you to stand with me as we pray. Father in heaven, I think it's time that we get very personal. Lord, church is a congregation. We're a group. We're a group. But Father, before we can be a group, we stand as individuals still. We individually come to make a group. So Lord, I pray that you would speak to us as individuals and that we would understand that before we can do anything great as a group, we first must understand who you are and who we are in you as a person. Father, I just pray that we as individuals would desire all that you have for us and that we would desire all of you for us. Individually and corporately. Father, I pray that we would no longer be satisfied with anything standing in the way. Nothing between us. We would cast off all hindrances. Cast off pride, cast off shame, cast off whatever it is, Lord. Lord, we're yours. We're supposed to do what you say. Lord, help us to understand who's in charge. That if you're in charge, we obey you. Lord, if we obey us, that puts us in charge and you're not Lord. Lord, help us to put you back in your rightful place if that's the case. In Jesus' name I pray it. Amen.